Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who never wavered on his path to win our salvation. Amen. Our sermon text today is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, beginning in chapter 15 with the 15th verse. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, that they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this world is turned against you. Because sin has entered this world, there is nothing but death and the temptation to depart the truth. Lord, we are grateful that you have endured this world and its scorn, even to the point of the cross, to save us. Help us today. Increase our faith. Set us apart from this world by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, there's an old saying that goes, two heads are better than one. And the idea behind that is if you get two people together to think about something, you'll come to a better conclusion together than you would individually. And I'd like to extend that just a little bit today. According to the Census Bureau, as of a few days ago, there were 325,855,376 people living in the United States. And of course, it's going up every minute, probably by about 10 or 11 people. But let's just round it up and say 326 million people, 326 million heads are better than one. Is that true? Politically, we may have all sorts of different viewpoints here in our congregation on what approach and what approaches serve best the interests of our country. It's generally what the majority thinks that counts in our way of doing things, but history shows us that the horde, this big group of people, is not always right in anything, really, in politics, in society, in culture. What about in spiritual matters? The prophet Jeremiah surely struggled with this thought. He was a persecuted man. He was definitely not a part of the horde of Israel. He was not a part of the vast majority way of thinking. Jeremiah had been sent by God himself to preach to the people and to give the word to them that said, beware, He was to speak not just to the people, but even to the leaders, the kings of Judah, and tell them that the path that they were on, rejecting the Lord, following sin, that path was leading to their destruction. The people rejected that message. And by and large, the vast majority of the people in Israel strengthened their resolve against God's prophet. And they spoke against him to each other. That's the word of the horde. Our Savior also felt the strain of persecution, only far worse. He wasn't just a messenger like Jeremiah. He was the truth itself. He was the one who had come to do the word. And when the people spoke against him, and they spat on him, and they followed through on their scornful words, "Crucify him," well, it was much worse than what Jeremiah had to deal with. The horde was wrong. It was wrong about the message that Jeremiah delivered. God had sent him to warn them that their idolatry would lead to their downfall and that Babylon would be allowed to conquer them and enslave them. And at first, the horde didn't put any stock in that, and they probably ridiculed him. They probably stuck their fingers in their ears and hummed and said loudly, "I can't hear you." Okay, maybe not literally. But as the message that God had given to Jeremiah became true, little by little, that horde rose up against Jeremiah, against God's messenger. And even Jeremiah himself would have liked to join in that horde mentality, and he complained to the Lord. "You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails?" Think of what he was doing there. He was questioning the Lord, just like the horde. Sure, there was peer pressure and persecution, but would heeding the word of the horde, would that make sense? More than heeding the word of the Lord? Of course not. Heeding the word of the horde is wrong. Jesus himself was warning his disciples about what was soon to come. And the forces of the devil were preparing what they thought would be the final annihilation of God's plan of salvation. And Peter, of all people, the one who spoke for the rest of the disciples oftentimes, he said, "This shall never happen to you." Even Peter was sucked into this word of the horde. That makes no sense when you step back and look at it. The Lord is right. He has ever been right. Everything he has ever said has come true. And he is the truth in the greatest sense of the word. He explains why the word of the horde is wrong. Not just philosophically, not just abstractly, but he explains it with history, real history. He gave another prophet, Moses, and to him he gave the book of Genesis. And especially there at the ends of chapters 1 and 3, we find out why the horde speaks as it does. God created man and woman, and he made them to be in his own image and very good, and they knew the truth, and they were truthful. And that means they were sinless and perfect. But they gave in to temptation from the king, from the father of lies. They gave in to that temptation, and they looked outside of God's will for their answers. And they let sin into the world. And ever since then, the horde of their descendants have been following in their footsteps, looking outside of the word of truth for answers. When Jeremiah was prophesying the fall of Judah and the exile, the horde refused him because they desired to look outside of God's word. They desired something that was more palatable to them. Peter did the same thing when he urged Jesus not to go to Jerusalem. He didn't want to see that Jesus could set things straight. He didn't want to see that only the sacrifice of God's own Son could cover the sins of Adam and Eve and all of mankind. That's why Jesus rebuked him so strongly and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So who do we listen to? The word of the horde or the word of the Lord? We'd better be careful in answering this question because we are part of the horde, just like Peter and Jeremiah and everyone born of Adam and Eve. We're no better than they were. We're caught up in that and we don't even realize it. Every inclination of our sinful human nature is against God right from the moment we're conceived. And we're deluded and confused because we're surrounded by so many untruths all the time. It's hard to even know what's true until God speaks to us through His Word and lays it out before us. It's hard for us to see what's going on. We'd rather ride the high horse and persecute than take God's Word to heart and repent. When somebody rebukes you of a sin, think about how you react. But God will not back down. God will not back down. His word is the truth, and more than that, God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's what he says about himself. He'd rather that you repent than die, and so he doesn't back off. He keeps coming to you with his unchanging word. He keeps reminding you that you need him. He keeps reminding you. He pronounces condemnation for every sin, for every evil thought, for every untruth, everything that is outside of His will and contrary to His commandments. Now, no amount of railing against it will ever change it. Persecuting the messenger will never help, no matter who he or she happens to be. It will always be the needle that pops the balloon of pride, the hammer that crushes the heart of stone, the sickle in death's hands. That's why the horde would not listen to God Himself when He visited them in the flesh. That's why even today His word creates so much anger and animosity when it's truly preached. Yet God's word also says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" Jesus rose from the dead. Does that fact not stop the word of the horde in its tracks? That's why we proclaim so loudly, "He is risen indeed." That truth cannot change. It happened. That's God's response to sin. He would overcome it. He would save us from our sins. He alone can deal with it, and He has. He did it by sacrifice. He certainly could have done it by power, but he chose to sacrifice himself so that it would end its grip on us and so that he could free us from being slaves to that nature, slaves to the horde. You didn't decide to believe. He came and found you and helped you where you were. He came by his word. He came by baptism. He sought you out and washed away your sins because he loves you. It's true that you can choose to listen to the word of the horde rather than the word of the Lord. It's true that you can follow the horde over the edge of the cliff like lemmings, right down to hell. But don't listen to the majority of numbers. Listen to the Lord. He's always the majority. It will ever be so because of who he is. Listen and repent and find comfort and follow and learn and speak the truth in love. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of the word of the horde, like Jeremiah and Peter. Well, think about it. Are you comfortable speaking to others about Christ? Or have you not been taught not to open your mouth? Hasn't the horde convinced you that it's best just to stay quiet on religious matters and not cause a big fuss? If you really care about your neighbors, you know that you can't stay quiet. You know that they need Christ, and you know that he has chosen you to be his mouthpiece, to speak the word to them, to bring them his grace. You know what's at stake. When you feel that butterfly in the pit of your stomach because of persecution, maybe when you feel the sting of its lash on your back, remember God's word to Jeremiah, "I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord." And remember what God said to Peter, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, even to the very end of the age." That's God's promise, and it can't change. He's always the majority. Heed the good word of the Lord, and not that evil word of the horde. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Amen.